know, why I'm sitting on this thing. I have cancer, and today I'm not going to talk about cancer, but but the fact, I'm going to talk about the fact that all of us are going to die someday. But that's okay. Let's hear what the Apostle Paul has to say about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says that he carries the treasure of the gospel in his heart. And because he is a minister of the gospel, he also suffers. And if you want to know about his suffering, continue to read in 2 Corinthians, I think it's in chapter 12, that he lists all the things that have troubled him. But let's take up the story in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I got to get a little settled here first. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Congregation, beloved of Christ, in a few weeks, there will be thousands of people in Canada who are going to pack their cars with tents and camping gear, and they're going to live in the woods with black flies and mosquitoes and skunks and raccoons and maybe even bears. And they're going camping. And they like it. But, you know, they all want to come home at a certain point, because nobody wants to live in a tent forever. think of the tent cities in Lebanon and other places where Syrian refugees have been living in tents, you know, for year after year after year. The Apostle Paul, servant of Christ, preacher of the gospel, says that, yeah, we're living in a tent. Our bodies are, in a sense, tents. And because of the gospel of Christ that he has, you know, preached throughout Asia Minor and also in the Europe, in Philippi, Athens, and Corinth, he suffers. He has suffered much because of the gospel. And he says, you know, I know that my body is wasting away, but I'm not losing heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outwardly, we are wasting away. I'm getting, you know, pretty decrepit. I can't really stand. I can walk a little bit, but I can't stand for very long. That's why I'm sitting on this bar stool, and that's why I need a walker. But, you know, if you're 20 years or older, at age 20, your brain starts to lose a lot of its neurons. At age 30, your muscles start to deteriorate. And on all the exercise and the lotions and the potions and whatever else you can think of is going to give you eternal life. Because all of us are wasting away. That is a fact of life. I heard on PBS the other day that you and I have more bacteria and viruses on and inside our bodies than there are stars in the universe. You know, that's utterly mind-boggling. Now, a lot of these bacteria and some of these viruses are good for us, but a lot of them are not. And they are partly the cause of our deterioration. It's a fact of life, whether we like it or not. All of us are deteriorating. All of us will experience death at some point. Unless, of course, the Lord Jesus should return quickly or soon. But he says, Paul says, you know, I'm not going to lose heart. I'm not going to sit and complain and worry about what's going to happen in the future. Though I'm wasting away, inwardly I am being renewed. And he is talking about the Holy Spirit of God living in our hearts, having given us life through Jesus Christ, and as we grow in Christ through the power of the Spirit, inwardly we are being renewed. We are being renewed. And we are going to glory. Verse 17, you know, it's very interesting. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all our troubles and all our wasting away. You notice that he calls that our light and momentary troubles. you'd almost think that he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, I mean, when you're sick and when you have pretty serious pain, you don't think of that as light and momentary. Well, but see, he wants to contrast that with the word glory. And the word glory comes, you know, the Hebrew word for glory is kavod, which means heavy. There's a certain heaviness, solidity to the glory of God and the glory of God that is and will be revealed in us. Heaviness. We are going towards an eternal weight of glory. So, and that eternal glory, which is already being worked in us, even as we sit here, and even as our bodies are deteriorating, and even as we are growing more and more decrepit, that eternal weight of glory outweighs absolutely everything. And so it is important for the community of Christ. You know, we pour baptismal water, and it reminds us that we belong to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that we are God's children. And we look to not what is seen, but to what is unseen. We are moving on to glory, to our heaviness, because what is seen, well, that's temporary. It's going to go away. It's not going to last. You know, we all know this. We know that all flesh is grass, and it's like the flower of the field. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow in our head. We all know this. I was diagnosed with cancer in 2015, and you know, when you first hear about that, you think, wow, whoa. But it should never surprise us when something like that happens to us, because we are mortal. Ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against God, you and I have become mortal. And as Paul says, you know, death reigns in my body, but that's not the end of it. Because we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. A baby in the mother's womb probably has some sense and an idea that there is another world out there. But the baby has absolutely no clue what that world is like. Not at all. And so it is with us. What we see, yeah, we can see. But there is another world out there. We know that it's there, but we cannot see it. But we are longing for it. We look for it. And we know that in Christ Jesus, we will someday arrive in that new world. And so Paul goes on in chapter 5. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. So here he compares, you know, our lives to a tent. And tents, we, you know, even if we love camping, I'm one who never liked it. I love the outdoors, but I could never sleep comfortably in a tent or even a camper, but that's, I guess, beside the point. But a tent is temporary. We want to pack it up. We want to go back home to a place that is solid. It has a foundation. It's much safer than a tent in storm and what all kinds of weather. And we know that when our earthly tent, the tent of our body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, eternal, an eternal house in heaven. I guess a lot of books have been written about heaven. And to be honest with you, I think people who write books about heaven haven't got a clue what they're talking about, because they've never been there. You remember that this kid a few years ago who wrote this book, and they made a movie about him being in heaven and so on and coming back with all kinds of stories. I think his last name was Malarkey. Yeah, really. And later on he confessed, you know, that he'd made it all up. But we simply don't know. Except we know that if our earthly tent is destroyed, and the reason Paul says if and not when is because Paul lived in the hope that Jesus would come, you know, back in his lifetime. He hoped to see the second coming of the Lord. Well, it's now 2,000 years later, and we're still waiting. We're still longing, and we're still looking forward to the day when Jesus will come again and will take us to be with himself. And I remember my mother telling me that when she was taking catechism in 1915, her pastor told her, I don't think that I will experience it anymore, but you will. That is the second coming of Christ. Well, my brothers and sisters, we simply do not know when Jesus will come again. But we do know that he will come again. And in the meantime, we wait. And if he doesn't come again before I die or before you die, we know that when our earthly tent is destroyed, we have a solid building from God in heaven. And then everything will be renewed. It will be well. It will be strong. We will be whole. Because it is a building not made with human hands. It is a building made by God. And so, yes, in the meantime, we groan. He's not saying, you know, that we're complaining and that we're always feeling awful and bad. No, groaning here is like, as he mentions in Romans chapter 8, it is like the groaning of a woman in labor. She is groaning because, well, she has pain, but she is also longing for the birth of her child. And when the child is born, and when we enter into our eternal dwelling, then we rejoice. Our groaning is expressing are longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. It is our longing to be with Christ. Paul says we groan because we are burdened. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So yes, you know, we may groan, we may be concerned about our decrepitude, our wasting away, and our pain, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit of God is groaning with us and is praying with us and for us so that we will not be so stuck to this temporary life, so that we may long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, to be heavy and solid, to be grounded in Christ, and to live in the presence of Almighty God. We are confident, he says, because as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. And he says, what I long for is to be away from this body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, I can honestly tell you that I do not look forward to death. I think there are not too many people who do. But the fact is, you know, it is coming sooner or later. But when we are absent from the body, this thing, you know, then we are at home with the Lord. So he says, I make it my goal to please him. And he talks about the fact that then the day will come that death will be swallowed up by life. Now, that is an amazing phrase. Because, you know, what you and I experience, and what all people experience sooner or later, is that life is swallowed up by death. We live in the world, and we live in God's creation, which is wonderful, but we have made a pretty mess of it. And I don't have to tell you all that's going on in the world, you know, the wars, the famines, the horror that is done to people. It's part of the reality of living. But the time is coming when death and everything associated with it will be swallowed up by life. I'm thinking of Jonah, you know, sputtering or trying to keep his head above water in the Dead Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And all of a sudden, he's swallowed up by a big fish, whether it was a whale, who knows, but and he stays alive inside that fish. Death is going to be swallowed up by life. Eternal life. The life that you and I have in Jesus Christ. And there is nothing in all the world that can stop that from happening. Many Christians in America think that their president is going to save the world. He's not. I think there are maybe some Christians in Ontario who think that now that the Conservatives have won a big victory, that things will be much better. Don't count on it. The Conservative Party and Doug Ford are not going to save us or make life better for us. And I know I'm not supposed to be political on the pulpit, and I'm not, but I want to tell you that death and all the evil of this world is going to be swallowed up by life. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who is even now ruling and reigning forever and ever, will come again, and he will make all things new. We read from the beginning of Revelation 21, and let me look at that last part of that. We said, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Please hear this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Can you imagine, you know, sitting in God's lap, and he's reaching into his Kleenex box, and he's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. My brothers and sisters, God has our lives in the palms of his hands, in his powerful grip. You do not know, and I do not know, how much time we will have in our temporary tents. Whether that is short or long, the fact of the matter is, all of us, if we believe in Christ, will receive a new building from God, and we will live eternally in a solid, solid place, where we will be more than safe in the hands and arms of God. And whether you are well or whether you are sick, whether you are young or old, whether you are dying or still very much alive, you are in the hands of God, who loves you and who has given his Son for your life, for your salvation. We do not look on outward things. We look forward to our heavenly dwelling, to be forever in the presence of God. Let us pray. Our Father, as our bodies waste away and deteriorate, whether we're young or older, thank you that we have an eternal dwelling in heaven built by you, and that even though we are wasting away, we look forward to to the time when death will be swallowed up by life. So, Father, will you, for the sake of Jesus, give us hope, give us courage to live our lives as those who belong to Jesus Christ, so that whether we live or die, as we and when we belong to Jesus, we will live in hope and in peace. Fill all of us with your Spirit. May we glorify your name, and may we know your blessing from moment to moment. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.